It's Tuesday, May 9th, 2006. You're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer, narrowcasting from Lubbock, Texas. Well, hello from sunny and warm Lubbock, Texas. I had an opportunity today to have a brief Skype cast or Skype conversation with Cheryl Oakes, who is an elementary computer facilitator at Wells Elementary School in Maine, USA. And we were talking about the website think.com. I'll not preface this with too many comments, but just observe that in our environment today, where we have so many negative headlines about the misuses of social networking sites like MySpace, I think as teachers we really need to be looking for ways that we can leverage the very powerful potential of social networking tools to help kids not only learn how to be civil and what civil discourse is and how to interact and communicate in appropriate ways with each other, not bully each other, how to handle bullying, all of those things, but also how to help students develop those literacy skills that are so important, not only for the tests that they're going to have to take at the end of the school year, but also for life. And so I want to thank Cheryl for the opportunity to chat with her about think.com. She's been using this website and this web resource for 4 years now and really has a lot of experience and wisdom to share about it. And I will include in the podcast show notes not only links to think.com, but also links to Cheryl's blog, to some screenshots that will show you what think.com's environment looks like and what students can do. And I just really encourage you to check it out. Whatever level you happen to be, you can apply as a classroom teacher, or if your entire campus is interested in setting this up, it's something that you can do for free thanks to the Oracle Educational Foundation. Okay, well, I'm here on the Skype line with Cheryl Oakes, who is an educator in Maine, and we're going to talk about think.com and digital social networking. And maybe, Cheryl, you can just sort of introduce everyone to yourself and tell us a little bit about where you teach, a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk about think.com.
Great. Well, I'm a technology integrator in Wells Elementary School, Wells, Maine, U.S. of A., and I really talk about the United States when I talk about Wells, Maine now, because you have an international audience. And since I was a web head this past winter and took a web head in action class, I really learned about international communities. And this is really about an international community, think.com, as a safe site for students. So that's a little bit about me.
All right. Well, we've heard a lot about MySpace, blogs, and really, at least here in Texas, it seems every headline is negative. It's bad news about kids and how digital social networking, you know, is really bad. And schools, I know around here, are banning a lot of websites. And some of that, I think, has reason. But why on earth would you want to start using a tool like think.com, which involves social networking online?
Well, I'm not just starting to use it. This is the fourth year that I've used it. And I have to say that 4 years ago when we started with think.com, I started it as a really easy template for students to make an instant web page and have a web presence. Now, their web presence is limited because you have to be a registered school teacher and class in order to be on think.com. And it doesn't allow their parents or grandparents or, you know, extended friends to look at their website unless the student is there with their own username and password. So with those limitations, 4 years ago I started it, and it was really well received with the students. We only did the had the template operational during the school year. And last year I introduced it in the spring, so that was my third year. And about 20 students kept up over the summer and chatted and maintained their web presence. And then fast forward to this March when I returned from my sabbatical with all kinds of ideas and great things about blogs and hearing you know, all the controversy about MySpace, I really wanted to look at our students and Think.com and how it's a sheltered, controlled, moderated, and teaching environment. And the proof in the was really in the pudding during April vacation here in the Northeast, where over 500 hits happened on Think.com. I moderated it all week, and 90 of the 215 students who created an account were active throughout the week on Think.com.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were so appropriate because I think what happens with MySpace and Facebook and things of that nature, you know, our older students have just been thrown into this instant reality-based, you know, presence.
Right.
And without even having instruction about how unsafe it could be or who their audience is.
Right.
I took this as a real learning opportunity for our and teaching opportunity for our third and fourth graders and their parents, because it's a real partnership with their parents.
Yeah, do you think the growth you've seen in the use of it, I mean, what do you attribute that to? How much of it do you attribute to the kids, and how much just to the way you marketed the tool and made it available to them?
I really introduced the Think.com blog the same way over the past 4 years. The first day they get registered and we talk about internet safety, which we talk about frequently, and they make a survey and they answer their classmate surveys, and then the second week they put a piece of poetry on, the third week they learn how to change their icon, personalize their template, and then they can start communicating with people outside of our school. So I do it in increments, but I think the atmosphere, the time is right. These kiddos are digital natives. They are ready to talk to the world.
Right.
Because my instruction about this hasn't changed, but the way the students received it has really mushroomed.
Right, that's really interesting. Well, you've already talked a little bit about what they're doing with it. What are the kinds of things that they're saying about the tool and that they're, I mean, I read a comment that you did on my blog, and you posted about how the interaction happens sometimes in the classroom. You've had an assistant principal in there before. How has this changed the dynamic at school, and what are the kinds of things that kids are saying on it, and I guess related to that, have there been problems? But maybe that's a follow-up question.
Right. The positive things about their chats or their sticky messages or their surveys, really the interaction comes from their surveys or their writing. And we just start out with really simple, you know, what's your favorite color? How many pets do you have? But a couple of kids now have gotten into favorite bands, favorite musicians. And, you know, I ask them questions. Well, do you think maybe the kids in the United Kingdom like the same bands? Well, of course not. But come to find out, you know, now that they've had their surveys up and people are answering from Texas and Arizona, California, United Kingdom, India, you know, they see that they talk the same language.
Wow.
The other thing that's been really interesting is they've gotten into more academic surveys. You'll see Chase has surveys about presidents and vice presidents.
Millard Fillmore, I saw, which I was really impressed about that.
Right. And so, you know, they really are taking this personal space and turning it into a more academic, interesting space for them.
Right. So I guess, you know, the novelty of just putting a survey of what your favorite color is kind of wears off, and then they are wanting to get maybe a little deeper into questions that maybe are more interesting.
Exactly. Problems, you know, I really talk about them being teachable moments, and one of the biggest there were no strikes allowed on this. We wouldn't allow any bullying.
Right.
Last year, I had 3 students who lost their internet privileges and lost their Think.com because they were making bullying comments to their friends within the school.
Right.
And they were really, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, the comment was really a 1. It was pretty innocuous, but it was bullying.
Right.
And we have a zero tolerance on that. So this year, you know, I explained about that. The assistant principal came into a couple classes and said, oh, yeah, I dealt with that. And, you know, the parents were involved, the student and the assistant principal. And so the week of the April vacation, I was really sweating it, thinking, oh, man, here's the test. You know, they're on their own for the whole week. But they were wonderful. You know, they have their friends who are monitoring, they have parents who are monitoring, and they have teachers monitoring. And I'm really proud that nobody has lost their privileges by bullying somebody else.
Good. Well, you know, it's my belief that we need to provide an opportunity for kids to make mistakes when adults are around, because
right.
a lot of times if things are just banned, then kids are going to explore things and do things, but maybe not have feedback. And I'm reminded when I taught elementary school, we had sixth grade students that could have a free choice on Friday, and we had a situation where a group of girls got into a chat room and, you know, had some interactions
right.
with some people. But I thought, thank goodness this happened at school, and thank goodness that we talked about it. And again, parents got involved. But I think that's part of the message I would like that I hear you saying, and I see through your actions. I mean, through doing this for 4 years, obviously you believe in this. And how receptive are parents and even administrators? Was this a hard sell for your administration? Because again, my perception is schools tend to be very, you know, sort of conservative, reactionary. I mean, the first thing they might think is, you know, don't let anybody do this. Let's block everything. How hard of a sell has it been with administrators and teachers? And do you see anybody else in Maine, you know, using this or doing similar kinds of things with it?
It was a hard sell at first with my administration, but I assured them that we could shut the site down. We could close the Think.com so that it was only our students interacting and not the world.
Right.
So I did explain everything that was available on Think.com and how limited it could be or how open it could be. So I think when my administrators heard that, they were willing to try it. The kids have to sign a permission and internet use policy, and the parents do as well. And by the Let's see, when the and I had my students type out the permission form telling their parents about it.
Right.
And I have every student make the Think.com website page, but I also give parents the opportunity to have their students' page closed down after the kids have had that experience. No one has done that. Everyone's left the page open. Right before April vacation, we had student-parent conferences, and I talked with 5 parents who were very concerned about, they had heard about MySpace and wanted to know how similar Think.com was.
Yeah.
And just by talking with those parents and saying, well, first of all, your internet computer should be in your living space, your living room or kitchen.
Right.
You should be there when your student is online. You should know who they're talking to. They were really concerned that Think.com was available K to 12. Well, I don't want my student talking to a high school kid. And I said, believe me, when they figure out that they're a third grader talking to a 12th grader, they're going to be gone.
Right.
You know, they don't talk the same language. Maybe they have some of the same music and baseball stars and musicians, but beyond that, they just don't even, they're not the same creatures.
Right.
So I think parents felt good about that. The funny thing is, I would say there are 6 parents, maybe more that I'm not aware of, who use their student's site, who, you know, get in with their student, they send email to other kids in our school. So, you know, people are involved, and I said, this is a partnership. I can't monitor 12 hours a day.
Right.
They have to work with me.
Right. And we might mention that one of your students helped. I'm a guest virtual teacher there, and so one of your
yep.
students helped inform me that we're not supposed to put personal pictures up. So I had put
yep.
a picture of my family, and so that was very good, and I got that removed. But, again, that's a learning opportunity. And so it sounds like this is enabling you to have conversations, not only
right.
with students, but also with parents. They're the very kind of thing that we want to be having in terms of educating all of us together about these issues.
Exactly. And to go a step further, one of the parents wanted to put some photographs on of their child and some friends. And I said, no, you can't do that. Well, what if they got permission? I said, you still can't do it. But here's a couple of other accounts that you might want to check into. You know, Flickr might be a good space for you to, you know, put up photographs that you want to share with people, but right. Our school site is not about that.
Right. Now, is that something that is a rule that other schools have followed, or is that just something that you all kind of came up with and you were deciding about this?
On think.com, it says no photos, no personal photographs, but a lot you can see a lot of people ignore that if you go to other schools. It just makes me nervous because as closed and protected a site as think.com is, we all know that there are predators throughout our whole society.
Right.
And, you know, just to be safe.
Even though it's closed, the possibility is still open.
Right.
Somebody else could. Well, let's talk a little bit about the specifics of Think.com, because people may wonder, well, how in the world is this free and how does it work? So the Oracle Educational Foundation sponsors this,
mm-hmm.
and you signed up for it, and you have to agree to the guidelines.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about administrative controls and then how you and the other teachers at Wells Elementary serve as moderators of the content that students are posting?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing as the administrator of this whole account, I decide whether or not students can communicate with people outside of our school. I could also set up a special group or literature circle and invite another class, school, or country to participate with us, that conversation would be closed. It would only be available for our students to participate in. Another level is, and this one my students and their parents really, you know, would like us to open it up, but the kids cannot email outside of think.com, and they can't receive email from outside of think.com. And their parents really would love to be able to email them throughout the day,
right.
But that's just one you know, roadblock that I've left up. I just don't want to have to deal with that.
But there are options that you have. So you're making local decisions based upon
mm-hmm.
what seems appropriate for the age level and the situation.
Right.
And it's not like a take it or leave it. You've got to have all these things. You really have different choices about how many things you turn on or off and when you turn
right.
it on or off.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
How did you learn about Think.com?
Huh. That's a really good question. 4 years ago, I think I was at a workshop or Tech Learning Magazine is one that I use quite frequently, and I saw a little blurb for Think.com being a free web template for students. And at that time, I was working with teachers, and we were using TeacherWeb.com
right.
as the same kind of blog template for teachers to have a web presence. So I thought, you know, it would be a good parallel.
Good. Well, what advice would you give to other educators that might be considering Think.com in terms of helping create the type of respectful online environment that it sounds like you all are creating and helping to moderate?
It is time intensive. You know, it takes about 3 or 4 classes in a computer lab to teach all your students about it. But once, you know, you teach the students, then it's a great avenue for communication. Some of my teachers use it to post surveys, you'll see that, and they really, it's another way to have a relationship with their students where you're one-on-one with that student in a different environment. So if somebody were trying it, I think you could use it as much or as little as you like. You can turn your accounts, you can make them inactive for periods of time if you want. So that you really do have a lot of control over it, and you don't have to leave it on during the summer months, which I did for the first time last year.
And do you think you'll do that again this summer?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
How much?
It was a great experience. You know, parents know I still have, you know, I can still be in touch with them if I need to, and students know if they are inappropriate, their account is gone.
Right, and so that's a real incentive, and I mean, especially
yeah.
what happened last year, you know, it's mm-hmm. proved to the students, hey, you know, the loss of this privilege, it's a real consequence, and so
right.
I would
right.
think that probably really shapes interactions and what
yeah.
they say, they tell each other they should do and can do and things like that.
Right.
Well, in terms of moderation, and I've been able to see this, when the students post content, I saw that there was a moderation area. Is it immediately visible to other students, or does the teacher actually need to click approve before it's visible?
Their information is immediately available, and the policy at think.com is that the administrator has to review the sites or pages every 15 days. And that's a long time for things to stay up. Right on my page, I have a review content that's, you know, like right next to my email button, for example. So I review images every single day. If students, the other thing, there's another safeguard for inappropriate language that I rarely use, but, I mean, if students use one of, who knows, 100,000 words that people have deemed inappropriate.
I saw some of those.
right. I get an informational message about that, and so does the student.
Is it blocked, or is it just a message?
It's blocked. It won't print. The things that I've seen, if they try to print an article,
right.
I'm not sure about stickies because I just don't see it.
Right.
But it informs the student, this word is not allowed on think.com, and your teacher will hear about this. So I've had kids email me and say, I made a mistake. I typed B-U-T-T instead of B-U-T,
right.
And I didn't mean to.
Right.
You know, so they know, right? If I hear about it from them first, that's great.
Right. And I'll include some screenshots maybe of some of my think.com page for people to get a little visual picture. But the students are able to create really as many pages as they want.
Ten pages.
And the content is limited, so they're not going to make, you're not going to put too much on one page.
Because I
put several things. But they can post articles, they can post poetry, they can do interactive things with photos, they can ask people to brainstorm, they can do a debate. I mean, there's just all of these different kinds of tools.
Mm.
So, was there any other tool like this that you've seen out there in terms of something that's open source or even commercial? I mean, there's blog tools that are out there, but I really haven't seen anything like this that's really set up, moderated for teachers.
I just this week ran into ePals blog.
Okay, right.
And that is a commercial site. That I am investigating because one of my teachers really wants parents to have more access.
Right.
And it has a parent username and a parent password that is available with it. So that's something that I'm looking into. Blogmeister that David Warlick has, but you have to create all your content. It doesn't have these nice surveys, templates, debate templates that are so easy for kids to use.
Yeah, we may have to talk to David and some other developers to say, hey, this is a great model, but I agree that having the window, I'm like, and maybe think.com would even do this, but being able to share some of that content, because the parent page I saw, like teachers have a parent page, and that's visible to the outside world, right?
Right.
That's
but
the
you
only thing that right now parents can see, unless they log
right.
in with their child.
Right,
okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I didn't talk to you about this in advance, but we can always edit this, of course, if we need to. But this idea of digital citizenship is something I think of a lot when it comes to social networking, instant messaging, internet safety, and that kind of thing. So what do you see digital citizenship to mean, and how do you think that think.com and the sorts of activities that you're doing with students and the kinds of conversations you're having, you know, would play into this idea of helping people be digital citizens?
Granted, I'm talking to third and fourth graders while we're doing this. So you have to really look at, you know, making it appropriate to them. Things like, you know, we'll start asking questions, when do you get out of school? Just the global, you know, we're not in the same hemisphere, so we have summer, other people are having winter. Those kinds of comparisons are really hard for this age level to understand. I mean, they just can't wrap their brain around it. They think, June 20th, I'm out of school, everybody's out of school.
Right.
So that's the level that we're at in terms of digital citizens, and getting them to think about that, like sports heroes, music, musician heroes. I think that's really where we're starting. The next level is the language. You know, one student said, oh, they didn't write a very nice sticky. You know, it didn't make much sense. And I said, well, and it was a student from India. I said, well, do you understand that this is their second language, their first language? They can write very well, but you can't even read it.
That's right.
So, you know, that was an awareness that, you know, they just don't have because they never encounter another language, especially in Maine.
Right.
You know,
right.
We are pretty sheltered here.
That's right. Well, so how much interaction has there been with international folks, and has some of that happened sort of automatically, or has it been where you've contacted a teacher and said, hey, we've got this group and we're writing poetry and we want to exchange, you know, writing, or how's that worked?
Well, I haven't done any teacher contacts to set up any kind of group work or things like that, because for the month that we taught Think.com and then left it, we've been doing online computer testing, and our computer lab has been strictly for testing for the past 2 weeks.
Right.
So it's kind of a break from my instruction.
Right.
And I think I would like to do that and maybe start it next year and start out with some other people and talk about a book or talk about an issue that the students, you know, from all over could get into.
Right. Well, we've gone about 23 minutes here, and I know we don't want to go too long, but the ePals blog that you mentioned, that's a commercial product, correct?
Yes, it is. Yes.
But you all are not paying anything as far as Think.com. Is that right?
No, we like Oracle.
Right. Thank you, Oracle.
This is great.
Foundation.
Yes.
So it's provided for free. So in terms of barriers for people that might be listening and thinking about this, really it's visiting the Think.com site, signing up, and then going through a procedure of, I guess they verify that you're a teacher and
yes.
At the school and that kind of thing.
Yes.
But,
yep.
But if they have internet access, this is something that's doable. I guess it could be limited to however many folks at the school. It could just be, you know, a select number, or it could be all the students, depending on how they want to set it up.
Right. It could be a whole school, or you could even sign up as a teacher. If your whole third grade population isn't interested in this, as a teacher, you could sign up and get your own account.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
The only other thing that I'd really like to say is that we spent probably 3 weeks on internet safety at the beginning of the year, and it's the culture at our school about no bullying. And internet safety, we use netsmarts.org, and those two things coupled with parent support has really made this doable. And I never thought that during April vacation, you know, it's beautiful weather, kids are outside. There were, you know, like I said, 90 of them participating daily on this website. This is just, you know, a great tool for kids. And in only 1 month, I've seen some kids who were not very good writers. They've improved a lot. They can complete sentences. And it's, you know how you see the teenagers in their IM messages, their vocabulary gets into just letters and slang?
Right.
With the third and fourth graders, their language has improved and their sentences have improved.
That's outstanding. Well, that should turn the heads of some administrators and anybody who's interested in language arts and writing. And that's one of the big messages that I want to get out there, too, is we rather than just ban these tools and say, oh, gosh, we can't have students doing it, I think we have to look at how we can leverage the motivation kids have to socially communicate and, you know, express themselves and help them learn how to do that appropriately. And again, just like any other tool, things can be used poorly or well, but it sounds like this really has a lot of potential to be used well to get those kids excited about writing and really improving their abilities to communicate.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you can get a screenshot of the poem, the line poems that the kids have done, but two students started that little line poem that I sent to you in an email.
Right.
And whenever I check, the other thing I do is when they get a sticky message from somebody, you can check on the name of that person who sent the sticky message, and it automatically brings you to their web page. And then when you click up near their student name, you can see what their school is and what town and country they're from.
Right.
So I always check on, you know, messages that my students are getting just to see, you know, how far they're reaching.
Right.
And this poetry, this type of poetry, is now seen worldwide.
Wow.
I saw it on a page from Italy. I've seen it all over, pages from Texas, California, and the United Kingdom. So
that's
it's
cool.
Something. And I don't know that it started with a couple of my students, but it's just incredible that networking and that web has just expanded.
Yes, and that's a great lesson for students to see, too, that their sphere of influence is no longer
mm-hmm.
limited to just their classroom or just their neighborhood, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole world, potentially. But if we can help them do that in a safe way, then, man, that is really
yeah.
exciting.
So, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the chance to visit, and just, you know, it's amazing that we're having this conversation for free over Skype. We've never
right.
met. But we've
right.
read each other's blogs before. You've taught me, I think, probably as much as anybody in the whole world about Web 2.0, because all the time you were going through your Webheads thing, and you would
yep.
tell something, or, you know, on the Seedlings podcast, you all would say something. I was like, oh, cool. I mean, my wife
yep.
makes fun of me because I'll listen to podcasts on trips, and I'll always be
yep.
writing things down on pieces of paper. But anyway, this is just very cool, and I would encourage folks to visit your blog, which I'll include in the show notes. And check out think.com and just, you know, get engaged in the use of these tools, because I think if we don't evangelize for these as educators, you know, who is going to do
right.
it? And who's going
right.
to help both the students and the teachers?
Right.
And goodness, we, as I've commented before, we need all the help we can get to help engage kids and motivate them. And so if this is a tool that can be used effectively, then, you know, it's something that we ought to advance and then also communicate about as we learn things. So.
Absolutely. Well, this is I will leave this as my closing comment. I've had students come back from previous years where we've done the think.com, and now their siblings are doing it, and they just are pleading, please, 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 can't we do it at our junior high school? So I've made an all-out effort to, you know, really bring these other folks on board, because it's such a great tool.
Right. And the neat thing, like you said, is there is an international audience even for this Skype
mm-hmm.
podcast, and there are developers out there. I mean, people are thinking about making money, obviously, but we have open source development, and, you know, David Warlick has done great stuff with Vlogmeister, but the ideas in this are
mm-hmm.
certainly something that could be developed and put out in different ways, just like people can use WordPress and have local installations of it. Who knows what's going to come next, but the fact that it gives teachers that control and gets them excited, I mean, isn't that awesome to have kids coming back and saying, you know, you made
yeah.
a huge impact on me. I want to keep
yep.
doing this. I want to keep
yep.
writing. Those are just the kind of stories we want to hear as teachers.
Yep, absolutely.
So, okay.
Well, Wes, I want to thank you, and my kids are enjoying having Mr. Fryer in our school.
All right. Well, I'm very honored to be a guest participator in Think.com, and we're just going to keep learning together.
All right.